Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. I apologize that I am a few minutes late. What is in my hair? I'm a few minutes late. I had some difficulties. As always on the live streams, there's technical difficulties going on, but I'm glad that you're here. I'm hoping that my chat will load. It has a tendency to not load for some reason, but it is what it is. Let me double check that we're even live on my phone. It's unfortunate that the chat once in a while does this. It looks like we are live. What's up? Okay. All right, there we go. It's loading. Welcome, guys. Tonight's going to be a great night. I have a word for you. This is going to be special because we're going back after almost 2 years. How has it been 2 years? What am I doing? 2 years of not doing this? It has almost been 2 years, and we are going back to our verse-by-verse teaching. If you don't know, I have a goal that I'll share with here in a minute, but welcome, everybody. We are live. I know it took me a little while. This is episode 201, so welcome. Tomorrow night on the podcast, we have a very special guest, Nicholas Bowling. This is going to be a great show. If you don't know Nicholas Bowling, he has gone extremely viral with his street preaching clips. He has like, I want to say over like 400 million views on TikTok and YouTube of street preaching. So he's going to talk about his testimony, his journey, give us some advice for preaching the gospel and sharing our faith. This is going to be a great show, so you don't want to miss that. And then I'll give you guys some dates later, January 19th. That's this Sunday. I'll be at Lifesong Church in California, 5 services. Info's on my website. I'll give it again later. And then January 26th, I'll be at Without Walls Church. So you don't want to miss that. Okay, so we have a goal, everybody. And our goal has been, if you've been here for a long time, you know the goal, is to go through the entire New Testament, teaching every single verse, that's verse by verse, on live stream. Okay, the Heresy Hunters will not tell you this. We have done now, let me go look at what we've done. We've done the entire book of John, verse by verse, on live stream. We've done the entire book of Revelation, verse by verse, on live stream. The book of Acts, the book of Romans, the book of Colossians, the book of Ephesians, the book of Philippians, and now we are starting tonight the book of Hebrews. It's almost been 2 years since I've done a verse-by-verse teaching. We're going to finish the goal of doing every verse in the New Testament on live stream. I took a little bit of a break because it took me months to get through the book of John, and Revelation took me like months, so I thought I'll break it up, but the Lord told me to go back to it tonight, so we're going to go back to that. For those of you that are excited about this, I want you to be on here every single Tuesday, every single Monday night and Tuesday for the podcast. As we go through the Bible, these take me the longest to prepare for. So go be with us every single week. It'll be encouraging to see you in here. It'll be encouraging to see the numbers up, not just when we do viral reaction content, but when we're teaching verse by verse through the Bible. This is Bible study format. We're not going to go so deep that you need scuba gear or you fall asleep. We're going to make it practical so that you can understand the Bible. And that's why it's called Understanding the Book of Hebrews. It's going to be a great time there. And then I have a big announcement coming very soon. Kind of like the future of this channel, some big changes coming to our channel. And yeah, I'm kind of at a place now, guys, with all the videos I've made. I feel at times like uninspired at times. So I want to share a video soon about what we're going to be doing to change things on the channel, the direction of our channel. And don't worry, I'll still be here. Actually, the announcement will be I'm going to be here more than I am even now. So it's going to be a great time. So let's get started in this. I'm going to have the verses on screen. I'm pretty sure the last time we did a verse by verse, everybody voted. How about this? If you want the Bible on screen the entire time, type 1 in the chat. If you don't want it on screen the entire time, type 2. I think everybody voted last time to have the Bible on screen as I'm doing this, but you let me know. The book of Hebrews is addressed to the Jewish Christians who are facing persecution and tempted to return to Judaism. And also, I want to encourage you, have your Bible out. Have your Bible out. Share the video. Like the video. That'll help us out a lot. But make sure you're following along in your Bible. But this was written to specific people. I think when we read the Bible, we don't realize that this is written to people at a certain time, that we're dealing with a certain thing. So we don't want to just take every verse and apply it to certain areas that don't apply. Remember, this is two Christians, Jewish Christians, facing persecution, and they were tempted to go back to the law, go back to Judaism. So it's going to emphasize Christ is supreme over every prophet, over every angel, over Moses and the Levitical system. Christ reigns supreme. This is about entering into the new covenant. It's one of the most unique and powerful books in the New Testament. We don't know who the author is because they never identify themselves. Many scholars believe it's Paul, Barnabas, Apollos, or somebody else. Those are the three top people scholars believe. I personally, if I had to choose, would sway towards Paul, but Nobody knows the author of Hebrews. Doesn't take away from how powerful it is. Whoever wrote this was clearly versed in Jewish tradition because they're constantly going to reconnect us back to the Old Testament. And I'm going to be quoting a lot of the Old Testament as they quote it in the book of Hebrews. So a lot of the stuff you see is quotes from Psalms, from Isaiah, and from Deuteronomy, from Leviticus. These are different things. But here's the clear picture of the book of Hebrews. And man, I'm so excited about this. Talking about the Bible. If one person gets excited about the Bible after tonight, it's worth it for me, okay? But here's the clear theme. Jesus is greater than anyone or anything, and he's worth following no matter what happens. I want you to see that tonight. No matter what happens in your life, Jesus is worth following. And this is something I want to remind myself of in 2025. It's easy to get in highs and lows, and I feel that. I feel like I get highs, then I get lows, and online, it's like the numbers are up, the numbers are down, and you don't really get to see people in person. It's very highs, very lows, but I have to just remind myself, even as I'm studying Hebrews, Jesus is worth following. No matter what happens, Jesus is worth following. This is a deep dive into what Jesus did and has done for us. It explains that Jesus is not only the Son of God, not only God, but also our high priest that mediates a better covenant. It highlights that Jesus' sacrifice atoned for us once and for all. And it contrasts the repeated sacrifices of the old system. Jesus is not that old system. This was a perfect sacrifice once and for all. How many of you are grateful? Type one in the chat if you're grateful. You don't have to bring a sacrifice every Sunday. You don't have to keep bringing an animal to the altar. You don't have to wait once a year to go into the Holy of Holies. How many of you are grateful that Jesus made the sacrifice once and for all to atone for the sin that we couldn't atone for, and we don't have to do the old system? We don't have to do the system of, you know, cutting up animals. I mean, imagine the smell in the temple of blood running down the altar every week. We don't have to do that. Jesus secured our salvation, and knowing him gives us that security, okay? So chapter one is gonna introduce us, and let me put this on screen before I forget here. Okay, chapter one, and we're gonna use the New Living Translation. I'm gonna try this for today at least, and then if I decide to go back to the New King James, I will. I personally like to read the NLT. I study in the New King James, but I like to read the NLT. So I'm gonna try this for this one stream because we did all the other ones in the New King James. And then if I decide I don't like it, I'll go back to the New King James. But there's a lot of new viewers and it makes it easy to understand. I'll break down some of the historical context, some of the ways we could apply it to our life. But we're just gonna go with the NLT for now. And then I'll review and decide if I want to go to the New King James back, what I was doing before. But let's start with the NLT. We're going into chapter one. We're using the New Living Translation. If you have your Bible, follow along, take notes, highlight. We're going to kind of go through this slowly. We're going to try to cover two chapters tonight. And then if it's too short, I'll go through three chapters. I'm going to kind of figure it out. I haven't done this in almost 2 years. So I'll refine it as the weeks go on. Maybe I'll try to get three chapters. I'd like to do three chapters a stream, but tonight we'll start with two. And then I'll refine it based on the time. And I'm a bit rusty doing the verse by verse because it's been a while. I'm like, what button do I press to get the Bible on screen? All right, but we're going to start in verse one. Follow along in your Bibles. It says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors. This is verse 1-2. Through the prophets. And now in these final days, so the writer's saying, now we're in a different time. Before God spoke through the prophets, now in these days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, he created the universe, okay? So the historical would be, in the Old Testament, what it's saying is, God communicated through many methods. In the Old Testament, we see visions and dreams, symbols, direct messages. For example, God spoke through the burning bush to Moses. That's Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. And then God spoke to Isaiah in a vision in the temple. That's Isaiah 6, 1-8. These are different ways. In Genesis 37, God spoke to Joseph through dreams. So in that Old Testament, Old Covenant, God would speak to the prophets and through two people in different ways. But then it says now this isn't saying God can't speak through those ways any longer, because we know in the New Testament, there's prophecy, there's dreams, there's visions, there's trances, there's out-of-body experiences. But what this is saying is now God has spoken through his Son. God directly spoke through his Son Jesus when Jesus came. And these final days refers to the Messianic Age. That's the period that started with Jesus' incarnation and ministry. Jesus started the Messianic Age. That's the final days is what it's referring to. And that's the days that we're living in, okay? This is what the text is saying. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God. He's not like a fragmented message that were delivered by the prophets. Jesus embodies the fullness of God's communication to us. So every word that Jesus spoke is the fullness of God to us. It's not fragmented. It's not like a dream here or a vision there, like in the Old Testament. It's not like a burning bush encounter. It's Jesus spoke to us. God spoke to us through Christ. Also, Jesus is the heir of all things. This refers to his divine authority, his divine inheritance as the Son of God. Everything is Jesus's inheritance. The Bible says in the Gospels that God gave Jesus us as his inheritance, but Jesus has everything as his inheritance. God says, I've promised you everything, Jesus. I've promised you everything. And through the Son, he created the universe. Okay. So Jesus was involved in creation. This is going to break a lot of, misconceptions about, you know, like oneness theology, or that Jesus wasn't there in the beginning. Jesus was created. This is going to break a lot of that, which those things are not true. This teaches us that everything was created through Jesus. And we're also going to learn tonight, undoubtedly, Jesus is God. Okay, there's still theology in the church that Jesus is not God. He's just the Son of God. We're going to find out that that's not true as well. He's the heir of all things. He's the agent of creation. He was involved in forming the universe, which shows his divinity once again and his preeminence. This parallels John 1:3 that says God created everything through him and nothing was created except through him. So everything was created for Jesus and through Jesus, okay? So here's what we need to do. We need to align our lives with Christ. We need to align our lives through Jesus and Jesus's teachings and Jesus's purposes. We can't live our life separated from that. Hebrews 1:3. Next verse. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he had sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This is very heavy stuff. Every verse here in Hebrews we're going to go through tonight is heavy, heavy stuff. It's powerful. It's about Jesus. It should get you excited. Okay. The phrase radiates God's own glory. This is a connection to the Shekinah glory found in the Old Testament and seen moments where the Lord would fill the tabernacle of God. So that's what it's talking about. The radiating glory of God, that Jesus radiates God's own glory. It's a parallel to that Shekinah glory, that God showing up and filling the tabernacle. Exodus 40, verse 34. Then the cloud covered the temple and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. This is what we're talking about here. This can still happen where the Lord's presence, the Lord's fire, the Lord's anointing can fill a place, where the Lord's power can fill a place. Has anybody, type one if you've ever felt that radiating glory of God, that Shekinah glory? I could name two or three times where I was in a church service and I felt that, where I was on my face, could not get up, under the table in one church service, and the glory of God filled the church. It's not something you can make up. It's not something you can fabricate. But when that glory fills the tabernacle, you know he's there. And this is something we should all long for. God, I want your presence to fill my house. I want your presence to fill my church. Now, when it says he's sitting at the right hand of God, this is speaking of his authority and the completion of his work. In the Old Testament, priests would stand continually offering sacrifices, as seen in Hebrews 10:11. Hebrews 10:11 says, under the old covenant, the priest stands and ministers before the altar day after day, offering the same sacrifices again and again, which never take away sins. Okay. In contrast, Jesus sat down at the right hand of God because his work was finished. So see Hebrews 10, it's like the priest is standing all day offering sacrifices, but most people don't catch this. Jesus sat down because the sacrifices no longer need to be offered. Amen. Hallelujah. He sacrificed once and for all. That old covenant's passed away. Jesus says, not only am I sitting in authority at the right hand of God, but sitting speaks of the work is finished. He's not standing continually offering sacrifice, okay? This is key here. Jesus is the exact representation of God's being, making him the visible expression of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything is created and is supreme over all creation. That's Colossians 1:15. I got like 50 plus verses for you tonight, all right? Very important that there, Christ reigns supreme. All right, his sustaining power is demonstrated by the fact that the entire universe continues by his command, and his seating again at the right hand of the Father speaks of Christ's position. We as believers, and I'm gonna try to give you a little how to apply these verses as we go. We need to trust in the sufficiency of Christ's authority. And listen, here's what I'm trying to say. If Christ reigns supreme over all creation, if he keeps all creation, continues it in his hands, has power, he has your life in his hands. You don't have to stress Christ reigns supreme. This is what I'm telling you. Trust in Christ. Whatever storm you're going through tonight, whatever trial that you're going through tonight, trust in Christ. He reigns supreme. Hebrews 1:4. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. Okay. Now, the reason why we're going to learn about that Christ is greater than angels in chapter 1 is because these Jews esteemed angels as very, very high, which you should. But the thing that the writer of Hebrews is trying to say to these Jewish Christians is Christ is far greater than the angels. And again, angels were highly revered as divine messengers in Jewish tradition. They were seen as mediators of God's covenant. Acts 7:53 says, "You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." Jesus' name refers to his identity and his role as the divine Son, which surpasses any title given by an angel. So this is far greater, okay? Angels are God's messengers and servants, while Jesus is God as well as the Son of God. This demonstrates Jesus is far greater. That's what this whole verse is telling us. He's far greater, okay? The verse begins with the argument that Christ is above the angels, which we're going to elaborate on. The writer of Hebrews will elaborate on as we go. So we need to really avoid elevating any spiritual encounter or any angel above Christ. That's why Paul said, even if an angel preaches another gospel, let a curse fall upon him. And I taught this a couple weeks ago in my teaching on angels. We don't want to elevate angels above Christ. We don't want to elevate angels above what Christ has spoken, what Christ has said. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. And let me scroll down here just a little bit so we stay on track. Because I'm on a different screen, so I got to make sure I don't lose you guys here. Hebrews 1, 5. And we're doing verse-by-verse teaching if you're just jumping in. For God never said to any angel what he said to Jesus. You are my son. Today I've become your father. God also said, I will be his father and he will be my son. Okay, again, Christ is above the angels. Now the first quote here, and if you're in your Bible or you're on a virtual Bible, you can just click the little, quote marks, I guess you'd say. Not even quote, I forgot what they're called. It's like the notes, and it'll tell you where these verses, the writer of Hebrews is quoting these Old Testament verses from. So the first quote comes from Psalms 2:7, which is a royal psalm that was celebrating the coronation of Israel's king, but also prophetically pointed to the Messiah. The king proclaims the Lord's decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, today I've become your father. Again, that's found in Psalms 2:7. The second quote is from 2 Samuel 7:14, which is part of God's covenant with David, where God says, I will be his father and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and disciple him with the rod like any father would do. So while that immediate verse is relating to Solomon, it's ultimately fulfilled in Christ, which is why here the writer of Hebrews is quoting the Old Testament. Now, here's the key. Angels are never addressed as son in the authoritative sense that Jesus is. We're not going to see a word in the book of Hebrews. We're doing right now chapter 1, verse 5. So open your Bible to that, Holly. Okay, so the angels are never to address as son. When God is saying, my son, he's addressing that to Jesus. Now, there's other contexts, like in Genesis 6, where it talks about the sons of God and the angels in that sense, in only three places in Hebrew, are referred. But for the sake of clarity, the way God's addressing Jesus as son is unique to Jesus. And these Old Testament references affirm that Jesus is the promised Messiah and the eternal Son of God. So we have to worship Jesus as God's eternal Son, as God, and as God's promise, and Jesus being the heir of all things. This is how we worship. We're not worshiping him as another being. This entire chapter, I know you're like, you don't have to convince me, Isaiah. But remember, the writer here of Hebrews is trying to convince Jewish Christians how supreme Jesus is. So it might feel like I already know this or it's repetitive, but to those Jewish believers, they were highly revering angels and Jesus was like, we're not sure about Jesus yet. So he's trying to emphasize the supremacy of Christ. Hebrews 1:6. And when he brought his supreme son into the world, God said, let all of God's angels worship him. Now this verse is quoting Deuteronomy 32:43. And I want to read this in the Septuagint, okay? That is The Hebrew Bible Old Testament Hebrew Bible translated the Greek. That's the Septuagint. And this is what Deuteronomy 32:43 says in the Septuagint, which is what this verse is quoting. It says, "Rejoice, you heavens, with him, and let all of the angels of God worship him. Rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people, and let all of the sons of God strengthen themselves in him." So the command of angels to worship Christ is confirmation of his divine authority and status, because worship is reserved to God alone. This is another verse that proves Jesus is God, okay? Because why? Worship Christ. No one else is allowed to be worshiped but God. So if the Bible's telling us to worship God, I'm sorry, to worship Christ, it's putting him in the same place of God because we know that he is God. Again, the writer here is convincing these people of that. Now, Exodus 20, 3 through 5 says, "You must not have any other gods but me. You must not make for an idol yourself or image of anything in heaven or on earth or in the sea. You must not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. I will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. I lay the sins of the parents upon their children, and the entire family is affected, even to the fourth, third or fourth generations of those who reject me." Point is this: if God is saying worship somebody, that thing he's saying to worship is God, because we don't worship angels. We don't pray to, idols or angels. I mean, angels are commanded to worship Jesus, and we're never commanded to worship angels. But the angels are commanded to worship Jesus because Jesus is God. And we should be inspired by the examples that the angels set. If it's good enough for the angels, if he's good enough for the angels to worship, come on, chat, where are you at? He's good enough for me to worship. I want to join in with the angels in worshiping Christ tonight, praising Christ. We're joining with the angels when we worship the Lord. This is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. When you go and worship on Sunday, we're not like, worship doesn't start at 11:30. Worship joins at 11:30. Because every time we go into worship, we're joining what's already going on in heaven. And the Lord commands the angels to worship Christ. If you're a Jewish believer that doesn't esteem Jesus as high as you should, and you read this letter in Hebrews, you would be like, wow, Christ does reign supreme. Hebrews 1, 7 through 8. Verse 7 through 8. Regarding the angels, he says, quote, "He sends his angels like the winds, his servants like flames of fire. But to the Son, he says, 'Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with the scepter of justice.'" That's Hebrews 1, 7 through 8. So verse 7, quote Psalms 104, verse 4, "The winds are your messengers, flames of fire are your servants." This is talking about the role of angels as God's dynamic servants to fulfill and carry out the will of God. We've talked about that many times. Angels' jobs are to carry out the will of God. Their winds are your messengers, flames of fire are your servants. That's the angels. Verse 8, quote Psalms 45, verse 6, "Your throne, O God, endures forever and ever. You rule with the scepter of justice." This psalm was celebrating a king, but again, this psalm finds its ultimate fulfillment in Christ. So when you see these psalms, the writer of Hebrews is pointing back to these, saying that at the time of Psalms, and I'm trying to be very simple when I say this, was written to those kings. It was about those kings. But understand, now Christ is the fulfillment of these psalms, because really everything in the Bible points to Christ. Every chapter points to Christ. So the angels here are described as God's servants. These are functional roles. This is their job, okay, as God's servants. Jesus, in contrast, is enthroned as God and reigns eternally with justice and righteousness. He's not an angel. This is what we're getting at here. We worship Jesus as the eternal king, as God, not as like an angel with a functional role as like an angel. Again, he's far above the angels. Sounds repetitive. It is. It is. But it's important to these listeners. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9. Making sure you guys are tracking here. Hebrews 1, 9. Here we go. "You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else." That's Hebrews 1, 9. This continues a quote from Psalms 45, verse 7, which highlights that Christ has love for righteousness and hates wickedness. "You love justice and hate evil. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you, pouring out the joy of anyone else." Psalms 45, verse 7. Christ hates evil. He hates evil and he loves justice. Now, the anointing oil symbolized consecration and blessing in the Old Testament. And this was usually in the Old Testament only for kings and priests. And this is found in 1 Samuel 16:13. So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he brought and anointed David with oil. And the spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. So that's what the anointing oil is. So God has anointed Jesus with the oil of joy more than anyone else. Jesus is marked by perfect love for a perfect love for righteousness and perfect hatred for sin. This is the marking of Jesus here. His anointing with the oil of joy signifies his exaltation and the unique joy that would come from his victory over sin and death. Although there was incredible pain and, shall I say, torment when Jesus was separated from the Father, when he took on sin, the joy came when he defeated sin and death. Okay, so our job is this: align our lives with Christ, hate evil, and love good. If you love evil, if you're someone that loves perversion, you love evil, what would be like an example of loving evil? Being addicted and loving pornography. If you love pornography, pornography is a common evil in society. And those that love it do not line themselves up with the character of Christ. We have to hate these things. Hate evil. I hate pornography. It's evil. It's wicked. It fuels the sex trafficking movement. I hate these evil things that society accepts and loves. And there's millions of people that love it, that love evil things. We cannot love evil things. Another evil thing is abortion. There's people that love abortion. They champion abortion. Oh, we got to stand for women's rights, my body, my choice. And they love it. They do rallies. Abortion is evil and wicked and unrighteous. I cannot love these evil things. There's a list of things that we in our lives, we covet and love that God says these things are evil. These things are not of God. These things are not holy. These things are evil. Okay? So line yourself up with Christ and start hating the things he hates. The more you follow Christ, the more you'll start hating the things that Christ hates. And the more you'll start loving the things that Christ loves. Hebrews 1:10 through 12 says, he also says to the Son, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They will wear out like old clothing. You'll fold them up like a cloak and discard them like old clothing, but you're always the same. You will live forever. This is from Psalms 102, 25 through 27, which speaks of God's unchanging nature. It says, long ago, you laid the foundations of the earth and you made the heavens with your hands. They will perish, but you remain forever. They wear out like old clothing. You will change them like a garment and discard them, but you're always the same. You will live forever. Now, this Psalms is now being applied to Jesus, which again, proves he's God. Jesus is eternal. Jesus will live forever. Jesus is the creator. Jesus, again, laid the foundations of the earth and made the heavens. Why? Because what we talked about earlier, everything was created through him, for him, and by him. Christ is God. Christ reigns supreme. Don't follow anyone that starts teaching weird doctrine about how Jesus is not God. Do not follow anybody, and I won't mention names, but there are some popular Christian YouTubers that are like, oh, Jesus is just this. He's just the Son. He is the Son, but he's not just the Son. He's also equally God. This is very, very important. So unsubscribe and unfollow anybody that will not boldly say Jesus is God. This is a huge, huge, huge problem I have with Jordan Peterson. Jordan Peterson has a lot of great speeches and great theories and great teachings of the Bible, but he refuses to draw the line in the sand and say, Jesus is God and Jesus is the only way. Now, I know why he doesn't want to come out and say that. I don't want to appeal to his motive, but I think the reason why Jordan Peterson won't come out and say that is because he has a very large Muslim audience and Muslims refuse to acknowledge that Jesus is God and they refuse to acknowledge Jesus is the way and the only way. So I think Jordan Peterson doesn't want to acknowledge that because he knows he'll cut himself off from a large part of his Muslim audience. I could be wrong. That's just the only thing I can conclude by listening to a lot of Jordan Peterson. And he always stops before Jesus is God and he always stops before saying Jesus is the only way. Now, if you have a Jordan Peterson teaching that says that, I would be shocked. I don't think there is one, but it frustrates me that he'll never plainly say it because the Bible makes it clear. The Bible makes it plain. Jesus is God. You heard it here first, and he's the only way. There's no other way, all right? Unlike creation, which is temporary and subject to decay, Jesus remains unchanging and eternal. So he doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's eternal and he's not subject to decay. This is why we need to anchor our trust in Jesus. He's our eternal, unchanging foundation in a world that is constantly shifting, a world that is constantly changing. Jesus remains unshifting. He remains unchanging. Hebrews 1:13. And God never said to any of the angels, look at this. And God never said to any of the angels, quote, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. What are we learning? Chapter 1 is all about Jesus is not an angel or like the angels. He reigns supreme. Now, this is quoting Psalms 110, verse 1, a messianic psalm. The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet. In ancient cultures, placing one's foot on a defeated enemy symbolizes complete victory. Okay, that's what it's saying. God has given Christ complete victory, which he never gave to an angel. That's what the enemies under my feet is. It's a symbolizing of complete and total victory. They would kill a king and they would stand on the king's head or on the king as a symbol of we've defeated this thing and we have complete and total victory over it. So Jesus sits at the right hand, has authority. Angels are never granted the honor of sitting at the right hand of God, reinforcing Christ as supreme above the angels. So we need to trust in Christ. He has total victory over every demonic power, every demonic spirit, every generational curse, anything that could ever attack you or afflict you. In Christ, there's authority over that. Now, I'm not saying you don't have to go through deliverance or there's not a process, but I'm letting you know that in Christ, we have power because God has put everything, every enemy, God has put under the feet of Christ. So we need to trust in Christ to reign supreme over death and over our enemies. Okay, Hebrews 1:14, this is the last verse in Hebrews. Feels good, guys, to get through this. We're back in the verse by verse. If you're just jumping on, it's been almost 2 years since I did verse by verse. Our goal is to do every verse in the New Testament on stream, teaching live. And we've gotten through many of the books, but we're working through Hebrews now in our attempt to finish that. We've done the book of Acts, book of Revelation, book of John, book of Romans, and Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, and all. Go on the channel. It's all under the playlist. You can find all of that, like literally 100 hours plus of teaching through the entire New Testament here. All right, Hebrews 1:14. Therefore, very important, angels are only servants, spirits sent to care for people who will inherit salvation. So very important. This tells us the roles of angels. The last verse says, angels have a specific purpose as messengers and ministers to believers. This includes things like Psalms 91:11. Where angels will protect individuals. Psalms 91:11, he'll order his angels to protect you wherever you go. So it would be smart for you when you get in the car to ask the Lord to send his angels to protect you. As a kid, I need to do this more. I don't do this enough now that I think about it, but I should do this because I grew up with this. Every time we got in the car that I could remember growing up, my parents would pray for, if you're old school, you know, traveling mercies. Y'all remember that? Anybody here remember that? It's old school. We don't hear that anymore, traveling mercies. And my parents would be like, Lord, send angels to protect the car and give us traveling mercies to get to our destination safely. The Bible says in Psalms 91:11, he'll order his angels to protect you wherever you go. So why would we not just, when we get in the car, just say, Lord, send your angels to protect me while I'm driving here, okay? Then it says they'll hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. Think about that. You won't even hurt your foot on a stone. You're walking barefoot. Stone cut my foot. Nope, the angels will protect you. That is powerful. They will hold you up with their hands. The angels will hold you up with their hands. This is amazing. The podcast should be uploaded. I'll look into that, Ruth, but everything should be getting uploaded to audio. And all of our podcasts, Ruth, is on our live tab on YouTube. Every single podcast we have, you can go to YouTube to my channel, hit live. You got to go to the live tab and every podcast is there. So some people don't know that, but every podcast is on my YouTube channel uploaded and I'll make sure the audios are up to date as well. All right. I'll check in on that tonight, but this is amazing. And then angels also deliver messages. Luke 1:26-34-38. I have this a couple weeks ago on angels. Angels are to serve God's purpose. They serve and minister to the heirs of salvation. They're not sovereign, but they're supportive. So angels don't have their own will and sovereignty. They're supported by God and they do what God tells them to do, and they play a big part in God's roles. But the point is, Christ is greater than the angels. Christ is greater than the angels, even though they are ministers to us. those that inherit salvation. That's what they're there for, to care for us. So don't neglect it. Don't ignore them. Acknowledge them. We literally live our whole lives ignoring angels. And then the Bible's like, they're there to minister to you. They're there to support you. They're there to serve you. Like a waiter serves you when you're at a restaurant, this is the job of angels. They serve the heirs of salvation. They wait on the heirs of salvation. All right. So that's Hebrews chapter 1. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Do not direct your worship or focus on angels, only to Jesus. Hebrews 1 summary establishes that Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God, the creator of all things and sustainer of all things, and is superior to angels in every way. That's the summary of Hebrews chapter 1. And we need to think about that and line our will up and our life up with the will and life of Christ and keep the focus on him. Jesus is the foundation of our life and our faith. He's the one that we keep our focus onto. All right, chapter 2. We're going to go into chapter 2 here now. We're making progress. We're making progress here. This is titled as a warning against... Oops, hold on. The scroll's too much. Did I just lose where we are? No, there we are. A warning against drifting away. Chapter 2 is going to build on the foundation that we got in chapter 1, but this will transition from Christ's superiority over angels to Christ's humanity and his role as Savior. And it's going to highlight the responsibility of believers to respond to Christ's message, to not neglect the message of Christ. And also, this is going to warn us against neglecting our spiritual life and to not sway away from the truth, not to drift away from the truth of the gospel. This is a warning against drifting. If you've been drifting away, listen up, because this is a warning against drifting. It's also going to talk about why Jesus, though greater than angels, would take on human nature. Because again, the Jewish believers are like, if Jesus is greater than the angels, like you've been saying, they didn't understand why Jesus would take on human nature. So this will address that question that Jewish Christians would have had. So it's about danger of neglecting salvation, Jesus's role in humanity, and the victory that Jesus had over the devil. So let's start in Hebrews 2, verse 1. So we must listen very carefully to the truth we've heard, or we may drift away from it. Now the word drift it's evoking the image of a boat drifting away from its slip. A boat slipping away, it's tied up to a dock, and now it gets untied. Somebody was careless, and now the boat starts drifting away. It's a subtle process, but a dangerous process. These people who were in maritime culture had boats and fishing would understand drifting away. They know what that is. If the boat drifted away, they all understand. So that's why he's using this language. Early Jewish Christians were tempted to go back to Judaism under pressure, making this warning extremely relevant to them because they were tempted to drift back to the law. They were tempted to drift back to Judaism. So this was the pressure there. This was the pressure to revert back. And he's saying, be careful or you might drift away. And we all need to be active in listening carefully to God's word. You have to stay actively engaged, and you can't just passively hear the word of God. If you're listening to podcasts, if you're going to church on Sunday, don't be passive about it. Don't just sit back listening once in a while. Be active. Apply what you're learning. Apply what I'm teaching you tonight as I'm breaking down the word of God. This has to be an active thing, not a passive thing. And spiritual drifting often starts with neglecting your spiritual life. It leads to gradual loss of focus of your faith, of your prayer life, of fasting. It's neglecting. When you start neglecting prayer, I'm preaching to somebody. When you start neglecting the word, when you start neglecting fasting, this is when you start spiritually drifting. I would acknowledge now, if you have a boat tied up, 3-4 ties on it to the dock, two of those ties for some of you have undone and your boat's slowly drifting. Your faith is drifting right now. Stop what you're doing and recognize I'm drifting. I'm drifting away from God. I'm drifting away from my church. I'm drifting. I'm losing the passion. I'm losing the excitement. I'm losing the fervor. I'm drifting. So the Bible says, listen carefully to the truth we have heard. Every truth you've heard, listen. Do not fade away into obscurity. Hebrews 2, 2 through 3. For the message God delivered through angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think that we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? So Jewish tradition held that the law was delivered through angels. We talked about that in Acts 7:53. You disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels. And the law, if disobeyed, carried severe penalties. That's Deuteronomy 28. All the penalties, we see tons of curses if you disobey the law. This is the seriousness of ignoring Christ's message. So what the writer is saying is like, if breaking the law was bad, how much worse is it if you neglect what was announced by God himself? If it was bad to break the law, how much worse is it if you neglect what God himself spoke? Okay. If messages mediated by angels brought great consequences, what greater would it be? Because remember, we established in chapter one how great Christ is above the angels. Now, how much greater is the penalty if you ignore a message that Christ gave? If the penalty was great, the law, which was given by angels, much greater there. Now, salvation is great. Why does it say salvation is great here? Because it was announced by Jesus himself, affirmed by eyewitnesses, and validated by God's work. Now, one translation says, how can you escape damnation if you neglect such a great salvation? Salvation is great because it was announced by Jesus. Don't neglect it. Don't neglect this great salvation, or you won't escape damnation. You won't escape the penalty. Do not break the laws of God. We all think now that Christ is here, there's no law. No, Christ brought a greater law, a greater covenant, and greater commandments. I have a whole video, type on my channel, the commandments of Jesus, or just go to YouTube and type in Isaiah Saldivar, commandments of Jesus. There's like so many more commands than in the law that Jesus gave. Jesus gave so many commands and they have severe penalties still. The severe penalty of disobeying Christ is damnation. It's going to hell. Far worse than what the law says. So let's reflect on the cost of our salvation. Let's understand, I can't neglect this. How will you escape damnation if you neglect your salvation? That's Hebrews 2, 3, and in other translations. Don't neglect your salvation. Hebrews 2, 4. And God confirmed the message, this is Hebrews 2, 4, by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever he chose. So how did God confirm his message? And I know a lot of you that are like, I don't like signs and wonders. Well, if you're in this chat, you're probably not one of those cessationist religious Christians, I will call them, that say like, it's not about signs and wonders, brother. We don't need to follow signs and wonders. Just read the Bible here. God confirmed his message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit wherever he chose. This is the confirmation. That's why John 10, Jesus says, if you don't believe me, believe the signs and wonders. Signs and wonders were used all through scripture to authenticate the message of God, and not just the message, but God's messengers to validate them, such as Moses in Exodus 4, 1 through 9, and the apostles in Acts 5, verse 12, which says the apostles were performing many signs and wonders among the people, and all the believers were meeting regularly at the temple, also known as Solomon's Colonnade. Many signs and wonders. Why would this stop? Does the message, let me ask you in the chat, does the message of the gospel still need to be authenticated to the unbelievers? Are there people that right now, if you preach to them, do not believe what you're preaching? Yes or no? Okay, the answer is yes. The answer is duh. There's people right now that need to believe the gospel. They do not believe the gospel when you preach it to them. So why would we know, why would you believe the lie that we no longer need signs and wonders? We still need them. They still validate the message. When somebody gets healed, when you see somebody out of a wheelchair, someone gets healed of cancer, someone gets raised from the dead, it validates that what we're preaching is true. Of course we need them. Of course we need them. Miracles in the early church demonstrated the power of the gospel and affirmed its divine origin. And it's still happening today. Okay, so God validates the gospel through supernatural acts, showing he's active in affirming the message. God is active in the earth. What a demonic lie to believe that this ended with the apostles. If you go to a church that teaches there's no more gifts moving, there's no more miracles, find a new church. I'm telling you that right now. Well, you guys always ask me, when is a good reason to leave your church? I'll tell you one good reason. If your church is teaching cessationism, if they teach that miracles are not happening the way they did in scripture, God isn't using people in spiritual gifts, leave, run, don't go back, don't show up on Sunday. Don't show up on Sunday. The distribution of spiritual gifts is a demonstration of the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Don't listen to anybody otherwise. This is that they are teaching something that the Bible does not teach. So let's recognize the work of God's power in our life and the world around us and the testimonies of the miracles. Have your eyes open to the miracles. Remember what the Lord is doing in the earth. Recognize what he's doing in the earth. All right, we got to go a little bit faster here. Hebrews 2:5. And I had three chapters planned tonight, but we're going to go for two because I'm realizing that it's taking me longer than I thought. And you know what? We won't just do every week verse by verse. We'll put in teachings in between as well, like we've done before, and all that good stuff, okay? And again, we have a big announcement coming very soon on the direction and the future of this channel and some new things that we're going to be doing and some changes that we're going to be making to sustain what we're doing on YouTube and everything else like that, okay? Hebrews 2:5. And furthermore, so God validates with signs and wonders. And furthermore, Hebrews 2:5, it is not angels who will control the future world that we are talking about. So the Jewish people gave high authority to angels as overseers of nations. And here's why. Daniel 10:13 says, but for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia blocked my way. Then Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me and I left him there with the spirit prince of Persia. Okay, long story short, an angel shows up to Daniel and says, while you've been praying, I've been trying to get to you, but there's a powerful demon that's been fighting me. And for 21 days, he's been blocking me. And Michael, the archangel, is fighting that demon while I came to give you a message. So the Jewish believer, the Jewish thought is angels are over nations. They rule over authority. And so they're like putting angels at a high level of authority. But then the writer's saying, it's not angels who will control the future world we're talking about. All right, it's not the angels. And the future world is the messianic age or the new creation where Christ will reign supreme. Like Revelation 21:1-4, where the new heaven and new earth shows up. That's like the future age where angels are not going to be ruling. Jesus is going to be ruling. Okay, and I won't read that whole thing, but go to Revelation 21. You'll see the new age, the new earth and the new heaven. That's the new age where angels do not rule. Angels are not ruling, all right? Angels are not ruling. Christ, not angels, is the ruler of the age to come. He has divine authority. So in the age to come, Christ will be ruling, not the angels. This is a very important distinction the text makes to let us know that Jesus, once again, is far greater than any angel. Hebrews 2:6-8. For in one place, oh, you know what? Do I need to scroll for you guys? Here we go. We're at 6-8. We're right there. Okay. For in one place, the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, or a son of man that you should care for him? Yet for a little while you made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now this is a quote from Psalms 8:4-6, which celebrates humanity's role as stewards of God's creation. Remember Genesis 1:26-28, God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, and the livestock, and all the wild animals on the earth, and all the small things that scurry along the ground. So God created human beings in his image. In the image of God, he made them. Male and female, he created them. There's no they, thems in the Genesis. There's no she, hers, him, she's, none of that. There's no 40 genders. There's no being fluid. There's no identify as a rabbit or a squirrel. None of that is the Bible. That's all man-made. It's all demonic doctrine. Okay, there's two genders. Male and female. I don't know why people have a hard time saying that. There's only two genders, male and female. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Two men cannot multiply or be fruitful. Two women cannot be fruitful and multiply together. That's why God made male and female. Very basic biology, very basic math here. God blessed them, said, be fruitful and multiply. I have four kids, so I have faithfully obeyed the command to be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and all the animals that scurry on the ground. We've been given authority. We've been given authority over creation. That's what the Bible says here. Now, the author applies it to Jesus, showing that he fully embodies humanity's intended role. So God gave Jesus authority as well. And Jesus, though made a little lower than the angels in his incarnation, when he became a man in human flesh, was crowned with glory and honor through his resurrection and exaltation. He is the ultimate fulfillment of humanity's purpose to rule over creation. Jesus rules over all things. Jesus rules over all things. And this Psalms, where David's like, who am I that God is mindful, is powerful. It's like, God thinks about me. God thinks about me and made me a little lower than the angels and gave me authority over all things. That's powerful. Now, Jesus fulfills this when he came as a human. That's what this is talking about, all right? Hebrews 2:9. I hope I'm breaking this down simple enough, but not, you know, not too quick, but also not too complex. I'm trying to find the balance where it's like not super deep, but also not super shallow here. And I'm trying to do it in a timely manner. Hebrews 2:9. What we do see is Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels. Okay, for those of you that a minute ago were like, you're blaspheming, you said that Jesus was given a position lower than the angels. I'm not saying it. Hebrews 2:9 is saying it. Jesus, for a little while, was given a position, quote, a little lower than the angels, and because he suffered death for us, he is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone, for everyone. Now, here's the context. Philippians 2:7-8 says this. Instead, Jesus gave up his divine privileges, and he took on the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. So again, this is about his humanity. He tasted death, meaning he fully experienced agony and separation to bear the penalty for our sin. Not sure who are you? Palm tree, my name is Isaiah Saldivar. Stick around. I got 2,000 videos on the channel. Go check out some other teachings, but stay. Right now we're doing verse by verse through the book of Hebrews. All right. So Jesus tasted death for all of us, for everyone. So you don't have to taste it. You don't have to experience hell. You don't have to experience death. Jesus tasted it for you. Now, his suffering was not a sign of weakness, but of God's grace and his victory over sin and death. His exaltation of glory confirms the sufficiency of his sacrifice. So we need to trust in Jesus' victory over death, and we need to be assured that we have eternal life. I'm so glad that Jesus tasted death for me. Have you ever had somebody and you're like, will you taste this? And they taste it and like, oh, that's disgusting. After they tell you it's gross, you don't have to taste it. I already know it's disgusting. I don't have to try it. You taste it for me. That's what Jesus did with death. Jesus goes, I've tasted death for you so that you don't have to taste it. I've already tasted it. Praise the Lord. We don't have to taste death. Hebrews 2:10. God, for whom and through him everything was made, chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that he should make Jesus, through his suffering, a perfect leader fit to bring them into their salvation. Now, the term perfect leader is the Greek word archagos, which refers to a pioneer or a trailblazer who leads the path for others. So Jesus led the way for us, okay? His suffering was necessary to identify with humanity and to fulfill the priestly role and to lead the way. We will go through suffering. That's why the Bible says, "Suffer." Christ says, suffer with me. Kyle says, I see you on my TV. Hello. I'm on TV. I'm on your YouTube on TV. Hello, welcome. All right, so Jesus fulfilled that role, but we also suffer with Christ. If you're going through suffering, take heart, Christ also suffered. You will survive the suffering. Okay, why? Because God's purpose was to bring his sons and daughters into glory. And Jesus is that perfect leader that fully understands the human condition through his suffering. He fully understands what you're going through. There's no temptation common unto man. Jesus went through the sufferings, the temptations, and the trials you went through as a human. He fully can identify with that. He gave up those divine privileges, as I just read you 5 minutes ago, so he can relate with you. He's gone through it. You're not alone. You're not alone. Jesus relates. He's our ultimate leader. Follow Jesus no matter what. He's your leader. If you're following anything else, they're going to lead you astray. Hebrews. Let me scroll down here. Hebrews 2:11. I shouldn't have left that highlighted. I apologize. Hebrews 2:11. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy have the same Father. That's amazing. Let me say that again. I have a hard time not rereading this over and over. It's too exciting. Now Jesus and the one he makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. Guys, I'm not going to lie. I did all these different books in the New King James verse by verse. I'm liking the NLT. Let me know what you think. Type in the chat, do you want me to go through the New King James going forward or stay in the NLT? Because the NLT just makes it so simple and clean. I'll break down the historical, but this makes it so simple and clean. Okay, so Jesus is not ashamed. Now, Jewish families held deep bonds of loyalty and shared identity. They were very, very into loyalty, family unity. So for Jesus to call believers his brothers and sisters, this was an emphasis on his relationship with humanity. The idea of being made holy, God has made us holy. This right here, oh, I'm sorry. So now Jesus and the ones he makes holy, which Jesus makes us holy, this refers to sanctification, setting apart. We are set apart for Christ's purpose through Christ's atoning work. Everybody's liking the NLT. Yeah, I'm liking it. It just makes it so clean and easy and simple. It's already kind of done some of the hard work for you with changing some of the words to make them a little bit easier. But Jesus has, now here's what I love about this. Jesus identifies with us, but Jesus says this, you're part of my family. We both have the same Father. And then he uses the term not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. I love that because he shows us acceptance. Despite all that we've been through, despite every hiccup and every mess up, Jesus says, I'm not ashamed of you. Now imagine, okay, I'll put a poll up later. It looks a little mixed here. Imagine you have a brother, right? Your brother is a mess up. He's on the streets. Maybe he's a drug addict. Maybe he's a liar. Maybe he's a thief. Maybe he's maybe you're just embarrassed of him, right? You have this high paying job and your brother is a complete loser. He's on the newspaper. I don't even think there is a newspaper. He's on the news all the time, breaking into houses, and you're ashamed that that's your brother. Now, we are that brother. We are that brother. We've broken every one of God's laws. We've made every mistake in the book. Jesus is the perfect one that has the high-paying job. He's the one that has done everything right. And you know what this is saying? In all of our shortcomings, in all of our failures, Jesus goes, I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. I'm not ashamed to call you my brother. How powerful is that? How powerful is that? He's not ashamed of us over all that we've done. Why? Because he's made us holy. He set us apart. So live in your identity. Live confident. I'm a son and daughter of God, but Jesus also calls me his brother, and we have the same father. Look at that. He calls me his brother. Jesus is not ashamed to call them his brothers and sisters. That's amazing. He's not ashamed of you. He is not ashamed of you. Jesus is not ashamed to call you his sibling. We have the same father. Despite what you've done, that's the cleansing work of God. Hebrews 2:12. For he said to God, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. I will praise you among your assembled people. This is from Psalms 22:22, which was a messianic psalm that begins with the suffering of the Messiah. My God, why have you abandoned me? But transitions to victory and proclamation of the glory of God. That's what it's referring to here. Jesus fulfills the prophecy by declaring God's name to his followers, revealing God's character and plan of salvation. Now his praise among the assembled people, that's the church, is showing that he's active in leading worship and bringing glory to God. Jesus leads us into worship to the Father. Jesus is a worship leader among the assembled people or the church, okay? So Jesus, we follow him, he worships, he leads us into worship. He prays, he leads us into prayer. We're almost done. Hebrews 2:13. He also said, I will put my trust in him. That is, I and the children God has given me. So this is from Isaiah 8:17-18. I told you there's a lot of Old Testament quotes here in the book of Hebrews. This is speaking of where the prophet speaks of trusting God amidst a rebellious nation. And this is Isaiah 8:17-18. I will wait for the Lord who has turned away from the descendants of Jacob. I will put my hope in him, and the children of the Lord has given me as a sign and warning to Israel from the Lord of heaven's armies who dwells in the temple of Mount Zion. Okay, so Jesus models trust in the Father that even in the face of suffering and rejection, he's giving us an example for all believers. And then he says, the children God has given me. This is the family nature of salvation. These are all believers that are brought into God's family through Christ. God has given us to Jesus as his children, as his children. Hebrews 2:14-15. It's still on screen. Because God's children are human beings made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood. For only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. And the devil's power of death is that fear and separation caused by sin, talking about in Genesis 3 and Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is the power of death. The power to, you have to pay for your sin. You're going to go to hell and pay for that. Jesus breaks that power of death. And by taking on flesh, Jesus was able to experience death, which gave him the power to destroy death's hold on humanity. If Jesus did not come as a human, die as a human, he couldn't break death's hold on humanity, okay? So his incarnation was necessary for him to defeat death and the devil. And his victory, look at this, sets believers free from the fear of death, granting them eternal life. I love what this last portion says here, where it says, only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. If you have the fear of death, Christ has set us free from that. You no longer have to be afraid. You no longer have to be afraid any longer. Christ has set us free from the fear of death. That's amazing. Hebrews 2:16. So if you're afraid of dying all the time, you need to memorize Hebrews 2:15. Now Hebrews 2:16, and let me scroll down here. Let me go open my Bible here. We are going to go, this is the ending here, the last couple of verses. I'll just highlight them for the sake of clarity. We also know, this is verse 16, that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Now, the descendants of Abraham refer to both physical descendants, which were the Jewish people, and spiritual descendants, which are all who share Abraham's faith, as seen in Galatians 3:7. The real children of Abraham, then, are those who put their faith in God. So there's like a physical descendant. That's the Jewish people. They're the physical descendants of Abraham. But because of Galatians 3:7, anyone that puts their faith in God are real children of Abraham. Okay, so Jesus came to help us. His incarnation sacrifice was for human beings, not for angels. He did not come to die for angels. He came to die for us. Hebrews 2:17. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every aspect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. So he had to become like us in every respect. Jesus became like us, which are his brothers and sisters. Yes, we're his sons and daughters, but he also calls us brothers and sisters because we share the same father. He had to do this to become our high priest so that he can offer a sacrifice that would take away the sins of the people. Because the role of the high priest in the Old Testament was to mediate between God and the people and offer sacrifices for sin. That's found in Leviticus 16:15-16, which says, then Aaron must slaughter the first goat as a sin offering for the people and carry his blood behind the inner curtain. There, he will sprinkle the goat's blood over the atonement cover and in front of it, just as he did with the bull's blood. So this process would purify the most holy place, and he would have to do this to atone for the people's sins. But Jesus, fully human, was allowing him to serve as an ultimate high priest, offering himself as the perfect sacrifice. So his humanity enabled him to fully understand us and represent us and made him sufficient to take away the sins. This is good stuff here. It's a little complicated, but it's not. I'm trying to make it simple. It's good stuff. Okay, we're almost done. Last verse here. Man, guys, I'm going to be honest. It feels so good to be back doing this. I cannot believe it's been almost 2 years. I'll say, guys, I've tried my best to be obedient every week to what God has told me to preach on, and I'm just glad to be back doing this. It is a lot of work to get these prepared and get them ready. It takes a lot longer than the other teachings, but you know what? I'm just grateful. You know, I'm just grateful to be back on these. A lot of things are going to change for me in this year of the way I look at YouTube, the way I look at views, the way I look at numbers, and I've just had a skewed view about numbers, and if it doesn't go viral, it's not good, and if there's not 3,000 people on the live, it wasn't a good teaching. I don't care. I'm working the best I can to get off of that worrying about views and live viewers and subscribers and you know, how many people are partnering, how many people are watching. Like right now, my YouTube views, I'll just gonna be honest, my income on YouTube, my views and my subscribers are at an all-time low than they've ever been. But you know what? I'm doing my best to say, Lord, I'm gonna stay faithful and preach what you want me to preach. I'm not gonna fall into the trends like, oh, I have to react to what's on the news to get views. I already know what to do to get views. But I would rather do what God's telling me to do and be obedient and get less views than to be disobedient and get more views. And I'll make a video talking all about kind of like my YouTube journey and what I've been going through with all of the online stuff and then a direction going forward. But I'll just say this year, I'm trying my best to just continue to worry about what God's telling me to do and not worry about all the other stuff. So there's my spiel before we go into the last verse here. Hebrews 2:18. This will be the last verse of the night. We're going to pray, and I'm going to hang out with the chat for a bit, and then we're going to have prayer and worship on Jared and Candace's channel. And I just realized my camera screen, wow, is off. It's not filling the screen. Cool. Great time to realize that at the very end. Oh, well, who cares? I'll fix it later. It doesn't matter. I'm sure none of you even noticed. Hebrews 2:18. Since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he's able to help us when we are being tested. Notice that. He has gone through it. So he can help us. Why? Because he understands what we're going through. It doesn't just say he can help us because he's God. No, Christ has this special connection with us because he's been through what we've been through. And his testing included his temptation in the wilderness, Matthew 4:1-11. And his suffering in Matthew 27:46, where he said, my God, why have you abandoned me? He felt that. He felt that abandonment. He felt that. Just amazing here how Christ can can sympathize with us. He experienced the temptations, so he's qualified to sympathize and assist us. All right, he understands our struggle. He's compassionate. He has firsthand experience. Here's the takeaway from that. Turn to Jesus in moments of weakness and temptation, knowing he's willing, able, and understands. Imagine you go through a trial and you go, Jesus, you understand what I'm going through. He understands my pain. When you're going through temptation and trial and pain and sickness, he understands. He went through pain. He went through trial. He went through the cross. He understands. So what's the conclusion of chapter 2? Don't neglect your salvation. Let the message of Christ's humanity and victory deepen the trust that you have in him. Remember, he went through it. You can survive. If he survived it, you can survive it. So let's examine our lives tonight. Every area that we've been drifting, let's recommit and anchor ourselves in Christ. If you've been drifting tonight, I want you to anchor yourself back in Christ and say, Lord, I've drifted. I need you. I need you, God. I've drifted in my walk. I don't want to drift away. We covered a lot of stuff in the last hour. All right, that's two chapters here. We covered a lot. Father, I pray tonight over every single person watching that they would not drift in their faith. And God, I pray, Lord, that these words that I spoke tonight out of your word would not fall on rocky ground, but I pray that these would fall in the good soil as the book of Luke teaches us, and they would produce fruit. God, I want to produce fruit in my life. God, I want there to be fruit. I want your word to produce fruit in my life, Lord. God, I don't want to drift. I pray right now, Lord, if I've drifted, that you would just reconnect me to you, God. Take me back to my first love. I pray over every person in the chat that they would not drift, that they would not drift, but that they'd be solid with you. Jesus, we honor you. Jesus, you're above the angels. God, I pray tonight for those in the chat that fear death. God, that your word says you deliver us from the fear of death. So I pray for everybody in the chat that has the fear of death. I pray tonight that you'd be delivered of the fear of death, delivered of the fear of death in Jesus' name. You would no longer be afraid to die. You would no longer be worried about death. But tonight, the Lord would deliver us from the fear of death. In Jesus' name, Lord, deliver us from the fear of death. We would not drift. We would not stray. Bless people in the chat tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. No more drifting. I hope this has helped you guys. I'm going to stay on for about 15 more minutes, and then Jared and Candace will go live. But I want to engage with you guys. I'm going to talk to you guys, and I want to read some donations tonight, okay? So if you would like to give into tonight's word or the stream and keep us going, we can stay crowd supported. We're on our sixth year of being fully crowd supported, not charging for our stuff, but fully funded by you guys. You can give one time. All the links are here. We have Venmo, PayPal, Zelle, Cash App. Okay, then also, I want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. If you're not, for 2025, I want you to pray about that. We need this to continue doing what we're doing. You can go to isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. We would not survive without our monthly partners. It helps a lot. Our channel gets very, very, how do I say it? Censored, shadow banned. I don't know the way to say it. We've been demonetized on Instagram, demonetized on TikTok, and demonetized on Facebook because of the content that we put out. When we say things like, there's only two genders, we get demonetized, okay? But we're going to preach the truth. No matter what, even if they take away our income on all those platforms, we're going to preach the truth. So if I got 10 million views on Instagram today, I would get no money. If I got 50 million on Facebook, I would get no money. TikTok, same thing, all right? It is what it is. We got to keep preaching truth. So support what we're doing. We don't have sponsorships. It's like sponsorship, you know, HelloFresh. We don't have none of that. We're viewer supported. So thank you. And also supports us when you purchase the book. My new book just came out. It's on Amazon. How to Cast Out Demons. Everything you need to know about deliverance. You can purchase the book. That also helps support us. But pray about becoming a monthly partner. You'll get 70 sermons you can download. You'll get 20% off the merch store. And you'll get invited to our 1:30 p.m. Thursday prayer call. I want to say this. If you are a monthly partner, please join the prayer call. 1:30 p.m. on Thursdays. Every single week, we pray together. All right? We pray together. So there you go. If you how do I partner Isaiah and do the sign up for the monthly? Go to isaiahsaldivar.com/partner. Or click the link in the comments, the first giving link, or scan the QR code. Scan the QR code. Now, let me give you a couple dates, and then I have a few announcements, and then I'm going to hang out with the chat for a few minutes and all of that good stuff. Thursday, we will be doing Q&A, hanging out with the chat for an hour, answering questions. So if you have questions, you want to talk to me, Thursday's your day where I'll engage with the chat the entire stream. But tomorrow night, we have Nicholas Bowling on, who is a viral street preacher. You've seen his clips. He has over 400 million, something like that, views. He'll be interviewed tomorrow. Nicholas Bowling. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a great time. It's just going to be awesome. That's tomorrow night on the podcast, and then we'll be live on Thursday. We have a big announcement coming soon this Sunday. Pay close attention as you guys give. I'm going to read some Venmo, Cash App, so give there, and PayPal tonight. So if you're giving, I'm going to read your donation tonight on stream. But very important announcement. This Sunday, I will be speaking at Lifesong Church. That's in Stockton, California. Five services, 8:15, 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2. Pray for my voice and show up to these services. The info is on my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/schedule. Everything you need to know is on the website. All right. The prayer meeting is at 1:30 p.m. Pacific time on Thursday. 1:30 Pacific on Thursday. That's next Sunday. The Sunday after, I'll be preaching at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. January 26th, Without Walls, 10 a.m., Mesa, Arizona. Go to my website to find all the info, isaiahsaldivar.com/schedule. So if you're in California or in Arizona, 2 weeks in a row, I'm coming to California this weekend, and I'm coming to Arizona next weekend. So be ready for that, okay? Be ready for that. Okay, and then March 16th, I'll be at North Georgia Revival. I'll give you more info coming soon to that, okay? Let me do some donations here for those of you that are giving on these Cash App, Venmo, or PayPal. I'm going to read your donation. Again, sow into the word tonight. If you're blessed, sow where you grow. If you're blessed, sow into the word. All right, thank you guys. Okay, we have Myra Salinas. Thank you so much, sister, on Cash App. Rolando Smoot, Cash App. Thank you so much, Rolando Smoot. You're a legend. Thank you, brother. Geraldine, thank you so much. Said Bible study was why I started following you. That's amazing. Okay, so that's encouraging. Because I'm not gonna lie. These are my favorite teachings. This is my favorite content I do. And the fact that it doesn't get the most views, it makes me sad because I'm like, this is the most important, but it is what it is. I understand the algorithm. I understand why YouTube doesn't promote these videos, but it is what it is. Thank you so much. I'm glad you found the channel through these teachings. V Nunya said, thank you, brother. Thank you for the Cash App. Chandler Masteller, thank you so much for the Cash App, brother. You are awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And then Alexander Smith, who just gave right now, thank you so much. And then Samantha David said, God bless you, brother. Thank you, Samantha. Guys, if everybody partners with like $2, $3, it doesn't have to be a big amount. If everybody gives a little something, it's more than enough. We really appreciate it. It keeps us going, keeps us running things. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So that was Cash App. Let me see if anybody gave on Venmo. See if there's any Venmo here. Venmo, are you going to load? We're going to see. All right. Suanne Peters, thank you so much. Thank you, Suanne. Sabrina Guerrera, thank you so much. Emma Suzanne, thank you so much. This is all on Venmo. Is this today? Yeah, it's all on Venmo. Thank you. Tiffany Dodson, thank you so much. Alicia, thank you so much. Gary Kaidez, thank you. Alicia, I don't want to say your last name, but thank you so much. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you guys so much. Oh, I forgot to tell you guys. No, we didn't show you. We got new kittens. They're not super small anymore, but we got new kittens. I'll show you guys one of them right now if you guys want to see. I just thought about it because I know people are asking because I posted on Instagram. Also, I got hit in the face yesterday. My nose is swollen. You can't tell. But if I had a straight on camera, my nose is swollen because I got hit in the face with a pickleball. If you want to watch the video of me getting hit in the face by my partner, shout out to my partner, Jeremy. You can go watch the Instagram video of me getting hit in the face with a pickleball. It hurt really bad. My nose still hurts when I touch it. And yeah, I had a headache for about 8 hours. So that's cool. Okay, let me show you guys. I'll show you one of the kittens and then maybe I'll show you another one tonight. A Zelle, I don't have access till after. Okay, I'll check the Zelle after. Let me check the PayPal and then I'll show you one of the kittens because you guys keep asking, so. They're the cutest. They're called Scottish Folds. I got one of them for my youngest daughter, and I got one for myself. All right. They're so cute, and she had three of them, and we were only going to get one, but then I just had to get one for myself because I do like cats of all animals, and they're so cute. Kayla Shields, thank you so much for the PayPal. Maria, thank you so much, sister. Jury, thank you so much. Donna Mintz, thank you. Dola Inc., thank you. Thank you. And then Catherine Larson, thank you so much. Thank you. All right, that's all the donations for tonight. Thank you, Jared, for the reminder. I just saw your text. We're on the same page, brother. All right, let me go get one of the cats. Let me go get one of the cats. Hold on. Actually, Alyssa, if you're listening, will you have one of the kids bring the cats to my door? Hold on. All right, they're getting one of the cats. I'll show you the youngest's cat tonight, and then I'll show you mine tomorrow night. All right. Okay, yes, the book is available. Here you go. Thank you guys for purchasing, keeping us on top on Amazon. I'm gonna get the cat. Hold on 1 second. Okay, she's a bit scared. I'm gonna show you guys. She's unreal, guys. She's unreal. Her ears fold. She's called a Scottish Fold. And she is so cute. Look at her. You wanna meow? So now we have a real meow at the end of stream, not a fake one. Okay, baby. Okay. Yes, I live about 7 hours from Southern California. 6 hours. So I'm about 6 hours from the fire. All right, I'm 6 hours from the fire. Isn't she so cute? She's a half fold, so her ears only fold halfway. But the other ones fold all the way down. The other ones that we were that were already sold when we got her. Cute, huh? And she is like so such a cuddler. My kids just carry her around all day. One more look and then I'll put her out there. I'll show you my other one too. I'll show you mine as well since they're just so cute. All right, we're going to put her away because she's crying. I'll be right back. You guys want to get mine? Get her. All right, the kids are going to get mine. I'll show you mine because you guys are asking. All right, hold on. Let me get mine. All right, now this one's very scared, so I'm gonna show it for a second because she's trying to scratch me. Look at baby. Isn't mine so cute? She's a blue color. She's very scared though. I'm holding her tight because she's trying to scratch me.
Okay, get her.
All right, that one was scared of all the light, so she was definitely trying to scratch me. It was definitely, their names keep changing. We don't have anything set yet. We can't figure out a name for them. But yeah, that one will definitely scratch if she gets scared. And these lights scared her. So I'm not going to keep her in here. All right. Yeah, they're great looking cats. They're called Scottish Folds for all my cat people out there. Someone has a hairless cat. That's interesting. Yes, Jared and Candace will be going live in 5 minutes. This, when I end, will take you there. And then I'll also post their link for those of you on Facebook. All right, I'll cover my bases there. We do have a big announcement coming soon that will be bringing the channel, how do I say it without spoiling, into a new direction. Our channel is going into a new direction. Don't be scared because I will still be doing my Monday nights. No, Alyssa, we're not bringing the dog in. I'll still be doing my Monday nights. And I'll still be doing my Tuesday. I don't know if I'll be doing Thursday once this announcement comes. But we have some big life changes. Actually, we have two big life changes coming. Actually, we have more than two. We have like three or four. This is going to be a very busy, big year. But we'll be announcing one of them soon. And the other one not so soon, in a few months. But one of the announcements is going to be big. I'm going to need your prayer. This is going to probably challenge me more than anything I've done since I started streaming. This new thing I'm going to do, this announcement, this direction of our channel. But yeah. Oh, all of our animals are females, I'm pretty sure, right? Maybe we have like one male cat or two male cats, but those are both female cats. Our dogs are both females. Lots of girls. The book QR code is expired. Oh no. Okay, I have to get a new one. I didn't even know these things expire. I thought only milk expired. Oh, it's a free trial? That's a fail. All right, well, here we go. At least you have the book there. What a fail. Free trial expired. There you go. Will you still be teaching? Yes. I'll still be doing my Mondays. I'll still be doing my podcast. The dog, I have two tea. Well, we have two teacup Yorkies. Oh no, they're all wet and smelly from going in and outside. All right. Three boy cats. Are you joking? I don't know. Alyssa, I don't know what they are. I don't even know. We have three boy cats, two girl cats, two girl dogs. The cats, the big cats, are mostly outside. They come in when it's like raining, but they're usually outside. And then these two new cats will also be outside. And we have two teacup Yorkies that have a pretty big yard that they go outside, and they're outside a lot too. Tomorrow night, Nicholas Bowling's going to be on Viral Street Preacher. And I'm reading all your comments, by the way. And we have four girls. We have four girls. What do you think about LA? It's extremely crazy and sad what's happening there. Now, I also want to speak to everybody that's saying, this is the judgment of God on... Listen, I've done a lot of studying about the judgment of God. When God judges somewhere, fire usually comes out of heaven and engulfs the entire city. If God wanted to judge a city... Now, I'm not saying anything whether I know what this is or not, but I want to make a point. In the Bible, when God wanted to judge a city, he would send fire from heaven and engulf the city. He wouldn't start, you know, like a forest fire, but that's just my two cents on it. It's sad what's going on there. All signs of the times, guys. These things will be happening as the end comes. It's very, very sad. It's very sad. Yes, this Sunday I'll be in Stockton preaching, and the next Sunday I'll be in Arizona. Everybody come out to Arizona. I'll post flyer and all that, all right? Oh, you know what? I need to post a flyer for Stockton this week, too. Let me write that on my calendar. All right. I gotta write. Listen, I'm old. I gotta write stuff on my calendar. Did I miss this? No, I emailed that. Okay, I'm just checking. I gotta write it on my calendar. Don't forget to upload the podcast. The last upload was 8:13. Really? Are you talking about on the audio channel? Are you talking about on Spotify? Okay, I'll upload them. All my podcasts, Ruth, by the way, are on YouTube up to last week. Everything is on YouTube. But you mean audio. I'll make sure the audio gets uploaded. I'm not sure what happened there. We'll get that worked out, okay? Things are always changing with the audio, so yeah. But just to be clear, every podcast is on YouTube right now in my live tab. I'll be in Mesa, Arizona on next Sunday at 10 a.m. To get the address, I'm going to Arizona next Sunday. Next Sunday, Mesa, Arizona. Not this Sunday, but next Sunday. Mesa, Arizona, Without Walls Church. Go to isaiahsaldivar.com/schedule. Tomorrow I'll have a street evangelist on. Yes. Nicholas Bowling. I've reacted to his videos before. Okay, Billy Carson. I'll be honest with you guys. I still don't know who Billy Carson is. Every single YouTuber in the country made a video on Billy Carson. I still don't know who Billy Carson is. So, no, I'm not going to react to it because I don't even know who he is. But I do know now Wesley Huff because of all the stuff people have said about him. I watched some of his stuff on Joe Rogan, but yeah, I don't know. Okay, Apple Podcasts. Okay, I'm going to look into that. Jared and Candace will be going here live soon. That's where they're going to be. There's their link. All right. Sorry. The service times for Stockton. Are you ready, Rana? 8:15, 9:30, 11, 12:30, and 2 p.m. 5. Pray for me. 5. All right. And you can get those service times on my website. Yeah. Did I say that already? On my website, isaiahsaldivar.com/schedule. No, my wife and kids usually don't travel with me, but I only travel once every few months usually. Not gonna miss what's winter. Nice fresh haircut. Thank you. Got that cut today. Just in time for the stream. I was looking like a chia pet. I was looking like a chia pet for a while. We have actually, yeah, we have a lot of announcements coming soon. A lot. I just thought of three big announcements that we have to make soon. Not yet, but soon. Thank you, everyone that's monthly partnering as well and supporting our ministry. 6 years now. This is our sixth year full-time live streaming. So it's definitely been a leap of faith, but it's been amazing. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. And let's just say you'll be seeing a lot more of me soon. You'll be seeing a lot more of me soon. You like Matthew from The Chosen? I'm not sure what that means. I like The Chosen. I haven't even seen the new season. Guys, what is wrong with me? I keep forgetting to watch it. I've watched all the other seasons. I used to watch it live on stream. I have videos of The Chosen that have like 2 million views on my channel. And I haven't even... My nose is still swollen. I don't think you can tell. But it is swollen. It's like puffy and hurts when I touch it. Do you cut your own hair? No, I go to a barber. Can you see my comment? Yes, I'm reading all the comments. All right, Jared and Candace are live now. So we're going to go do worship and prayer here. That's the link. We're going to go do worship and prayer with Jared and Candace. Great, great friends. Some of my best friends. When I end the stream, if you're on YouTube, it'll take you there, okay? I'll be live tomorrow night, 6 o'clock Pacific. Very excited. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here. This was a great way to kick back the verse by verse. Feels good. I'll see you guys tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, same place, same time. Love you guys. See you tomorrow. Meow. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.